Blog Talk Radio.
Time. It marches on relentlessly, outside of human control. But humanity has long found a variety of ways to mark our passage through the eons. Seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, and years. But why do we count our collective journey through the ages in these integers? As we cycle through the different seasons that come each year, winter, spring, summer, and autumn. How were these months named, and why are they such odd lengths, 30 or 31 days plus 28 days for February? What is up with leap years? And who decided that January was the right time for one year to end and another to begin? Let's look back through history to learn the varied origins of these odd measurements of time. Why are there 12 months in a year? Many ancient cultures came up with the system of dividing the year based on the cycles of the moon. The oldest known calendar in the world, a 10,000-year-old arrangement of 12 pits and an arc, was found in Aberdeenshire, Scotland. The ancient Sumerians counted 12 months in a year and started each month with the appearance of a new moon. Holy days occurred on the 1st, 7th, and 15th of each month. The word months comes from the word moon. But there is a big problem with using lunar cycles to divide up the year. The solar and lunar cycles don't line up. One lunar cycle is 29.5 days, and 12 of them is 354 days. While it takes the Earth 365.2422 days to orbit the Sun, the Sumerians added extra days at the end of the year to allow the two cycles to realign. According to legend, the founder of Rome, King Romulus, devised a 10-month calendar, with each month counting 30 or 31 days. This used the cultural tradition of a month based on the moon, but added a few extra days each month to keep in alignment with the sun. The year began in the spring with Martus, named after Mars, the god of crops and war. Martus signaled the beginning of the planting season and the time when young men would go off to battle to expand the empire. Aprilis derives from the Latin aprire, meaning to open, as this is the time when trees and flowers blossom. Maius was named for Maia, the goddess of fertility, as the world springs to life and many new animals are born at this time of year. Maia was celebrated at festivals during this month. Junius was named for the goddess Juno, wife of Jupiter. She represents love, marriage, and childbirth. Thus, June has long been considered the luckiest month to be married in. At this point, Romulus must have gotten called to dinner by his wolf mother, because the 5th through 10th months of the year are named a bit lazily, after the Roman numerals 5 through 10. Quintilis, 5, Sextilis, 6, September, 7, October, 8, November, 9, and December, 10. The remaining 60-odd days of the winter were floating free at the end of the year and not assigned to a month. Romulus's successor, Numa Pompilius, revamped the calendar in several ways. As the Romans thought even numbers were unlucky, he made all the months which had been 30 days, 29 days. He wanted the year to be exactly 12 lunar cycles, which are 29.5 days each, totaling 354. So after adding up the 10 existing months, he had 57 days left over. He divided these into two new months of 29 and 28 days. Romans celebrated the god Janus around the time of the winter solstice, when days stopped growing shorter and colder and started growing longer and warmer. Janus has two faces, one looking into the past and the other into the future. Numa Pompilius moved the celebration of the new year to the beginning of the new month, Januarius, which he named in honor of Janus. The second month, Februarius, means to purify, as rituals and festivals often involving animal sacrifice were held during this month to cleanse the land and community after winter and in preparation for a new spring. And because this month was considered unlucky anyway and was offered up to the gods, it didn't matter that it was an even number of days. Even though the months named 5 through 10 were now actually the 7th through 12th months of the year, the original names stuck. But this calendar, at only 354 days, was still out of alignment with the sun. So it got misaligned with the seasons by an additional 11 and a quarter days each year. To compensate, every other February would be cut short to 23 days, and an additional leap month called Intercalaris was added in. The convoluted system became even more confusing, as Roman politicians would often add extra leap months to extend their own terms or skip leap months to get opponents out of office faster. And when the empire was at war, which was often, the leap month was frequently forgotten for years. So before long, Romans were shoveling snow in Junius and sunbathing in Januarius. A few centuries later, Julius Caesar came along and applied method to the madness. He borrowed from the Egyptian system of a 365-day calendar and added back the 30th day to the months that had lost it. He ignored the lunar cycles and made the 12 months stretch the entire solar year, eliminating the need for complicated leap months to be added in. And every fourth year, he added an additional day in February to make up for the extra quarter day it takes to make the full orbit. Julius Caesar also renamed Quintilis the month of his own birth after himself. Not to be outdone, his successor, Augustus, named Sextilis after himself, and added an extra day to make August as long as his predecessor's month. And thus we have the Julian calendar, pretty close to what we use today, but there were still a few modifications to be made. In the Middle Ages, the Church followed the calendar religiously, so they would know when to celebrate their various holidays, festivals, and feast days. They used the 12-month Julian calendar, but observed the new year on a variety of different dates, depending on local custom. Some areas began a new year on December 25th, Christmas. Others on March 25th, the Feast of the Annunciation, on which the Archangel Gabriel appeared to the Virgin Mary to tell her of Christ's impending birth. Still others followed the Roman tradition of January 1st, but rather than saluting the pagan god Janus, they Christianized the day as the feast of Christ's circumcision. This had a certain poetry per the significance of cutting. The most important feast on the Christian calendar, Easter, was supposed to fall on the first full moon after the spring equinox in March. But the addition of the leap year in February every 4 years was pushing this date further and further forward. Because it takes the Earth 365 days, 5 hours, 48 minutes, and 46 seconds to travel around the Sun, adding an additional day was rounding this up from 365.2422 to 365.25. This may not seem like much, but over the 1,500 years between Julius Caesar and the Renaissance, our orbit around the Sun and the calendar had become misaligned by 10 days. Pope Gregory XIII commissioned astronomer Aloysius Lilius to calculate what date it should really be and devise a new system to prevent further drift. The new Gregorian calendar was introduced in 1582, and Thursday, October 4th was followed by Friday, October 15th, skipping 10 days ahead. The leap day would also only occur 97 times instead of 100 times every 400 years. It is omitted in years that are divisible by 100, except for years that are divisible by 400. So the year 2000 was a leap year, but the year 2100 will not be. With the implementation of the Gregorian calendar, the Catholic world jumped ahead 10 days. But many other countries in Europe remained out of sync. Protestant England was 10 days behind their Catholic neighbors in France for 2 centuries. So a person could travel back and forth in time simply by crossing the English Channel. But England finally gave in to papacy and pressure from continental trade and adopted the Gregorian calendar in 1752. Russia stayed on the Julian calendar until their October Revolution in 1917, which, according to the Gregorian calendar, began in November. By this time, they had gotten even more out of sync and had to skip ahead a full 13 days.
And with that open, hello and welcome to A Team of Voices with Sky Darkholm with Down the Tube, Really Random Stuff. I am your host, Sky, and Team of Voices is a group located on allpoetry.com. The largest poetry site in the world, and I'd like to say thank you to Kevin and his crew for keeping the site up and running, and also a thank you to Deb, the founder of the group, and the blog talk, so we can share our poetry live. Also like to thank the A.P. Taylor Foundation for supporting the group and the blog talk and all our various contests that are going on. Thank you very much. Tonight, I would also like to say thank you to our opener, which was a YouTuber, and Lindsay Holiday, and she does History Tea Time with Lindsay Holiday. She focuses on history documentaries, all different kinds of topics. Definitely want to check out her page if you like clear, concise bits of information, bits of documentary, site resources, and things like that she's great about. Very informative and clear. I really enjoy her. You can visit her page. She has a Patreon page as well you can check out if you want to support her. And, of course, our opening music was Katie Herzig, and she's an American singer-songwriter whose songs have appeared often in movies, TV shows, commercials. She was born in California to a musical family. She was 1 year old. When she was 1 year old, her family moved to Colorado, where she attended Rocky Mountain High School. Her sister sang opera while she studied voice and played percussion in band and orchestra. In her senior year, she got an acoustic guitar from her father, which prompted her to begin playing the instrument. At the University of Colorado Boulder, she wrote her first song in poetry class. She majored in journalism and was interested in documentaries and video editing. She was drawn to audio editing after using computer programs, Pro Tools, and GarageBand recording songs on the laptop in her bedroom. So a little bit about her. Check her out. Her further music. We are talking about last month we talked about where the days of the week came from. So I thought I would follow that up by where the days of the month came from and actually how our calendar was developed. It's really interesting because look at how many, it took hundreds and hundreds of years to get this thing right. And we take it, we just use it every day, and a lot of people don't know the history of it. I have to admit, I knew some of the history, didn't know that much. I definitely learned stuff doing this show as well, and I'm not an expert by any means. I think it's just really cool to kind of dive in and see where our names come from and what we use every day, where it comes from. So tonight, on that prompt, people could go fiction or reality. They could have picked one of the gods, like Janus or Mars, to write about a fiction. They could have wrote about time, any of the themes, or they could have stuck to an informative piece, which is great too. So we got some poetry in a different direction. And of course, we're going to have some conversation and talk about maybe stuff that maybe we thought was cool, what we learned, what we didn't know, what we knew. And that's about it. Without further ado, I do have some callers on the line. Of course, my unofficial co-host who's always with me, Bracken Tour. Hello, Rack.
Hey. Hey.
How are you?
I wouldn't miss it. You might say it was a date.
Yeah, that's right. That's... Here comes the calendar, Joe. Well, hopefully you're using the Gregorian calendar and not the Julius calendar so we could be on the same time here. All right. We also have with us Hatter. Hello, Hatter.
Guys, hi. Good to be here. Thank you.
How are you?
I'm a little tired today. Not sleeping well.
Gotta wake up.
Gotta survive.
Gotta wake up.
Yeah. Trying.
All
you woke
right.
up on the wrong
side. So, what I usually do, I usually drop a poem and then I let the person talk. If they have anything that they learned about, that they want to talk about, what they liked about it, what they thought was weird, I will make a disclaimer. I realize that we're rooted in a lot of, you can't deny that when it comes to calendars, days, things like that, it is kind of rooted in religion. We're not focusing on that. We're not really talking about that, like in, conversational sense, whereas that can bring up any type of inappropriate conversation. But, there is the roots of that as well. But so just be aware of that and, just be aware of it. Well, I just wanted to say my disclaimer. So, Hatter, I want to know what you learned, what you liked. If you have anything to say, you can talk before your poll. You can talk after your poll. You can do whatever you like. You have the mic.
I did know about Julius Caesar and Augustus in the summer months and March. In Julius March. But the other information I was not aware of. Some of the world weren't in sync as far as dates. That must have been crazy.
For trade.
A little bit.
You could still cross the date line by going to Australia, so that's kind of similar.
Yeah, and I, yeah. I pulled in another vault. It's right on the month that I was born, and only people that are born in that month will or during that zodiac sign will can appreciate it. It's called inverting two numbers. It goes like this. The times of educational celestial praise, the conversations of stars, legends and birthdays, I become the meek, the flowers on the wall, the quiet one. With nothing to say, they all turn my way, the date of my birth, the sign of my cusp, the position of the gods. I would never say much. What's your sign? No one yells out mine. It's the kind you keep to yourself. Just saying my name brings the color of shame. Never wanting to share my zodiac name. Cancer. The world dies before my eyes. I bow my head and pretend to cry. I don't know the reason why anyone would name July Cancer. Somebody cursed the people of summer. They were named from the stars and the sign thereunder. A term for position by inverting two numbers. A bull in May, is that okay? A crab isn't bad, but it ain't no lion. How does one feel when you talk about dying? A horse named Zion or a dog named Spot. I could think of 100 names, but it's cancer that I got. The smile retires. It's the way of the sign. It could have been yours, but it's all mine. I am the zodiac no one wants to hear. I am the word that all hate and fear. I am the name no one wants to say. I am the one all wish goes away. Cancer, July 19th.
Excellent work. This is one is on my recommendation list, so you knew I said I liked it the first time I read it, and I always enjoy reading a good work over again. I think the way that you put it was wonderfully done. I thought it was done delicately, which is, you know, important in topics such as this. And I know that, I mean, I'm not sure. Like, that would be a cool thing to delve into, to see who named these zodiac signs? Where did they come from? I would actually be interested in looking that stuff up, because though I know about the signs as, you know, much as anybody that might just do stuff in passing or may say, oh, yeah, you know, water signs are artistic, you know, things like that, and knowing them. That surface kind of stuff I may be aware of, but I don't know if I've ever delved into who named them and why were they named Cancer. You know, was it as prominent? Did it get its name before Cancer had its name? And that would be interesting to look up, actually. The way that you put it, I you know, when you have something impact your life, such as cancer or having a loss or having it you have to beat it as well, or going through it, or some, you know, someone you know, a loved one, it brings a whole new connotation. I mean, even if someone is untouched by this disease, you say cancer, and the room does go a little bit quiet, you know, does get a little bit weary, because of what's behind that and meaning behind that. And when you're, and then, you know, to back it up with the zodiac, the word is still the same. It still has that same leering sense, I would say.
That's part of the answer, I think.
It's a hog bump. I'm sorry?
I think I got part of the answer. I don't know if it's the true answer, but around 400 B.C., Hippocrates is said to have named masses of cancerous cells carcinos, Greek for crab. Science and medical historian Howard McKell discusses a few hypotheses on why Hippocrates named the disease after a crab and how well cancer was understood in the ancient world.
See, that would be fun. That would be fun to delve into. That might be an idea that maybe we can do sometime. on a Found the Tube show. I mean, that sounds like something I had actually, I don't know about you. Well, I do know you do too, but I just like to research stuff and to like if I have a question, something comes up and I'm curious, I want to go find out. And I think that's why, you know, people are like, why do you know so much random stuff? Not helpful stuff, right? Nothing that will actually worth really anything, right? Just like random ideas of things, like Fruit Loops is banned in Norway. I don't know how that helps me, knowing that Fruit Loops are banned in Norway and gum is banned in Singapore, but I know it, but not really helpful in any way. Unless I'm going to those countries and I know I can't have those. But I do. I you just get curious and you look stuff up. But that would, so not only is your right on topic to the ideas of tonight, the ideas of the month, of course, the naming of the month. But, you know, you're going into astrology. There was a second, there was about 5 more minutes of that video that did go into the Chinese calendar and to the Zodiac calendar. I did choose to cut off the last 5 minutes. But if, of course, the video is still up there, if you want to have a look and you want to listen, you want to watch the whole thing, you could also do that. But I thought this piece was great. I think that you bring it with sensitivity, like I said, and kind of curiosity, like, you know, what's going on. And this is a very weighted word. And I don't think it would ever change, but in a world where we're changing a lot of our terms and a lot of our words, it's curious to me if that would ever change, you know. Everybody's being really sensitive
They tried. Somewhere along the line, they named this Moon Child. But the reason I said that there was a part of the answer is because there is another reference to the word cancer for the month. It says in 1350 to 1400 in England, derived the Latin word from word cancer, which means crab. The zodiac sign was named after a crab from the mythological story about Hercules. To summarize, Hercules killed his family and was paying his penance when Hera sent a giant crab handle his penance for progress. So there's a couple terms of references to that. I don't know which is right.
I always think that's odd that when people talk about Hercules and his heroism, they always forget the story where the gods made him go crazy and kill his kids and his wife. And that's why he had to do the 12 labors in the first place. On that note, Raconteur, what do you think about Hatter's poem?
I liked it the first time I heard it. Being, you know, a love of words, I knew before you said what it was. But, you know, there is that stigma connected to the word, like you say. You know, I kind of, I want to say delineate between cancer the crab and cancer, you know, the disease. The fact that there is a connection to the disease and the zodiac symbol is interesting. I didn't realize that, but you know, it makes sense. You know, why else would they pick that name? You know, the constellation looks like a crab. Yeah, sure it does. But you know, the word choices and the way that you say it, it's you know, lovely use of the language and melody and you know, you stay in tune throughout the whole piece and everything, like you always do. And you know, it carries that thought, and it has a real depth of emotion to it when you talk about something like that, because that's just the nature of cancer itself. So you know, it's Why would you do that?
And it overlaps into Julius Caesar's name month, I believe. When somebody yells out, "What's your sign?" you hear Aquarius, Sagittarius, Aries, Libra. Nobody says Cancer.
Yeah.
You're so yourself.
Well, I thank you, Arak. That was a great comment. And I would like to invite on, and I don't think she heard your call. She may comment, I'm not sure. But I would like to invite on, hello, sweet.
Hi, baby.
How
are you?
I'm good.
I'm good. How
are you?
Hi.
Good.
I'm all happy. I had an orange. Orange has always made me happy. I had orange and chocolate.
That's funny. I'm all happy I had an or, and then you finished with orange, so I was a little confused.
I got for Easter, I got Lindor coconut chocolate things.
Uh-huh.
And so I ate one of those, and I had an orange, and I'm quite happy. How about you?
I got to watch my grandson eat the head of a bunny. That was fun.
I hope it was a chocolate bunny.
You know, she wasn't going to testify. I wasn't going to ask.
We're not that sick.
I am.
See, he's advanced.
Yeah,
most children stop at the ears.
Doesn't take a lot to make me happy, so I'm pretty good. That sounds good. So you had a wonderful Sunday, I'm assuming.
Yes, I did. It was a really nice Sunday.
I had birthdays crawling up the wall. My mom's birthday landed on Sunday. My other mom's birthday was on Saturday. So I just had like a birthday bonanza all weekend.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, sweet. Did you, I don't think you heard Hatter's poem. Have you read it? I don't.
I don't know if I've read it, but based on what you're talking about, if it's his sign poem, I have read it in the past.
Yes.
I really like it.
Okay. Well,
I think that
thank you, Hatter.
It's a great poem and great rhyme. No, it's got great rhyme. It's a great poem. And I think that when you made the comment about things changing, I think that it's really important that he understands that even being a Cancer doesn't mean to take on that name. Like, he's still a Cancer. Cancer has a good side of it when you're using the signs and the months and the spiritual meaning of it. So we can't attach every meaning to every word.
Yeah, I have this poem, and it's called Enzo the Eagle. I was afraid to go bald. And it's stay with me. There's a connection. Hold on. Enzo the Eagle was afraid to bald because he was a bald eagle. And in the poem, it says, names alone do not define you. Only you can do that through what you say and what you do. So take that advice that I wrote for kids, and names alone do not define you. And Enzo the Eagle was not going to go bald just because he was a bald eagle. Sweepy, I want to know, because I know that you did your homework, and I was laughing about you. I was telling somebody about your comment. I forget who it was. I was talking to a friend I forget where I was, honestly, but I was talking about you, and I said, oh, my friend, she always says it's the dark home study program. Yeah. A home study program. And I was just laughing and talking about you, and you really made me smile. I just thought I would tell you.
Oh, thank you. I have my poem when you're ready.
I'm ready. If you have the board, you can talk about anything you want, what you learned, what you didn't learn, or just read your poem, you pick.
I will read my poem, and then we will talk about my poem, because I've learned a whole lot in your little 14 minutes that really kind of scared me. So I will kind of, yeah, it really kind of, I went, really? Okay, so this is only in Rome. It's kind of a bizarre little thing. So in crimson skies, the sun did rise and the emperor faced a conundrum. Capture the moon's decline in an orderly way to control time. Observations of wise old men seek time in stars, a universal round trip. Between philosophers and ego trips, the calendar was formed, with February taking the blame for the shame and pain in Rome, as May offered pleasure and special weather for that matter. To twist and turn the way we play, politicians could subtract or add days to months to run their mouths and take over a seat in the Senate, a mathematical intimidation, a timeless practice. Hear the rings of church bells sing, and days are praised in the eyes of the purists. Holy days must mask the rising suns and be worshipped as God mandated. For New Year's Eve now means a celebration of shaving off a little skin. Boy. London state leaves behind, no Catholic church rules their universe, but quickly change that frame of mind as traitors rule the purse. Yet Russia keeps itself behind the curtain past the 1900s. The story is complicated, how man manipulated the tick-tock of time can still be redesigned to realign any mistakes we have created. No matter the numbers on the page, we still age in orange sunsets and smile and home.
This is brilliant. I can't believe you brought the actual facts in here in such a poetic way. This is brilliant. First of all, I am going to give you your – do you want me to comment first or do you want to talk first?
No, comment, and then we'll talk about all the crazy stuff.
Well, I love that you brought in the emperor face a conundrum, because can you imagine having to put this such a – how do you grasp time? How do you – like even – like from the foundation of that, I can't even wrap my brain about how – make time and let's make this happen. It's such a big thing. It's amazing. So I love how you brought in how they first did it by the moon, of course. And then the part that really, between philosophers and ego trips, I love that because it's talking about, of course, how philosophers are saying this and that, like, let's name it after these gods, but and then let's get a little lazy at the end. But hold on, Caesar's, you know, Julius Caesar's ego trip is going to name, you know, a month after himself, and then his predecessor, you know, he's like, well, if he gets one, I'm going to get one too. And guess what? I'm going to add on another day so that we're even. So I love that you bring in the ego trip. You bring that section in. I love that you bring in the dark side of February and a little bit of I'm glad none of that happens anymore. And then, of course, you bring in the fact where they were like, well, some leap years, if they wanted to get a politician out, they just skipped that leap year. Some kept on, and sometimes they forgot altogether. Like, how careless can you be, really? So I love that you put that in. So. And then, of course, there was a traveling back and forth in time when people were on, you know, one was on the Julius calendar, one was on the Gregorian calendar, and we're separated by 11 days. And then of course, Russia not even doing it to, like, 1900.
1919 or something like that?
We'll just skip 11 days out of nowhere. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Like, when you're people get all messed up when we're an hour, 2 hours apart. Can you imagine? Okay. This was 11 days ago.
11 days.
Yeah, 11 days. You're 11 days behind, but it's fine. And then all of this poem has all this information, and yet it's these long lined of poetical lines. By the way, also, I really love the oi. I loved that part. I giggled. I didn't even mute myself, but you'll probably hear me giggling while you were reading, because I was like, oi, yeah. And I love how you ended it. The complicated and how man manipulated to take time, because it's so true. Like, how did you capture that? I actually posted a meme in March when we set when we spring ahead, right? When you spring ahead the clock, I posted a meme and it said, "Don't forget to set your clocks on fire on Sunday. Time doesn't exist. You know, time isn't real."
Right.
So, and then of course, what all that matters is that there's sunset and there's, you know what I mean? Like, there's days. Let's appreciate, out of all this and all this crazy stuff, let's just appreciate that there are days and sunsets and sunrises all together. I thought that was quite brilliant. This is a wonderful piece. And, Hatter, what did you think? I'm sorry. Well, hold on. I'm going to get you. Before we go off the hinges, I do want to get this comment. So, Brackentor, can you make the first comment?
Mama said there'd be days like this. Oh man, there's so much brilliance in this suite. And like Sky said, I love that you included the oi. Oh man, the whole thing is just, you know, very, very brilliant. And all the stuff that you learned is well, I shouldn't say I don't know what it is that you learned or didn't have already known, because you ain't stupid. You know, no matter what you want people to believe, you ain't stupid. I'm sure some of it was new for you, but I'm sure a bunch of it was like, you know, ooh, I could use that. So I really appreciate it. You know, you've got style and this you're able to fit it to your way of telling a story, which you have a beautiful way of doing. You know, it's like, the thing that's very consistent in how you write, and I don't know if you realize this, I've kind of said it in a different way, but the best way to put it comes out in something like this is, you know, you keep us interested in the direction that you're going, and it's not obvious where you're going all the time, and that's why we want to be like, okay, what you going to do with this now, you know, and that's the way you tell a story that's so you do so beautifully.
Oh, thank you. I hope you're feeling better, darling. I'm sorry to get back to you. We were just playing phone tag.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't worry
about
it. I won't.
Thank you so much, Rax, for your excellent comment. And Hatter.
Yeah, Sky, no guy giggled at oi.
I giggled.
But do you believe that? That is the one fact that blew me out of the water. That just, I rewound it to listen to it again. Like, are they telling me?
So you didn't
that they celebrated New Year's Eve because that was the day that Christ supposedly got his circumcision? That's why we have New Year's Eve in January? Are you kidding me? Oi!
You'd be amazed what you do if you learn about where origins come from. Yeah.
I'm just so old. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Hatter. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
So you think you're Jewish?
She didn't mean to cut you short.
Sorry, reminds me of that coach on Porky's, the female coach, Miss Ballbreaker.
Oh.
she could tell who it was by a lineup.
All right, we're gonna.
That's the funniest scene. All right. Okay, sorry.
Thank you, Spoopy. And Spoopy, I still want to hear what you have to say. I just have to say hello to Adam. Hello, Adam.
How did you know? What? How did you know? It's Adam. Whoa, hey. Hey, everybody.
Someone earlier in the show said, I have a surprise for you. And I said, what? And then he said, Adam might be calling. I'm like, oh, really? So sorry. I was so happy, though.
Aw, thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Her exact words, Adam, were, I love you, but.
I did.
Don't put her on blast.
I did. I said I love him.
Live.
I did.
Yeah, live from rehab. It's Adam. All right.
All right.
That's okay. That's okay. That's okay. It doesn't.
I also have Steven on the line. Hello, Steven.
Hello. Forget about it.
Awesome.
Sweetie.
All right. So here's how it's going to go. I'm glad you're all here. I want Sweetie to be able to talk a little bit about what she wanted to talk about, and then I'm going to drop Steven, and then we're going to move from there. So, Sweetie, you still have the board. You still have the...
Well, Steven, yes, you called my name.
Well, I was actually here to hear your poem, so I just wanted to say that I had never been to a New Year's Eve nip the tip party, and I think I'll stay away. But I can tell that you really did your homework for this piece, and I thought it was awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, it was crazy to learn like where some things came from, and you know, I just like politicians. Can you imagine if our politicians could add or subtract days? I mean, Donald Trump, we would still be 14 days into his presidency. I mean, if the man had that kind of power, there'll be 2021. I just can't believe it. You just walk in and go, no, we're going to add this, or we're going to add this day, or we're going to take away this day, to where you had 355 days or 344 days, and then you add the 0.222. I was so mathematically confused with it all. But, yeah. It was crazy.
I love that we're still saying December, even though it's the Roman, it's for number 10, even though it's the 12th month, because it just got pushed.
Yeah. Like you got, and then you've got London, who refuses to look at the Catholic Church at all. So you literally have two parts of the same continent, like you said, 10 days, 11 days behind each other. So I'm going to like go on my horsey horse, and I'm going to sell to one guy on the 15th, but on the other guy, you know, he's going to be on the 9th, and I can't even keep my book straight to pay whatever taxes I have to pay. So I really like, even London went, oh, screw this. We got to do this for the traders because we still want everybody's money. And God forbid if the currency changed at all. But I was just amazed. But the whole New Year's Eve actually changed to January because they believed that was when Christ was circumcised. I'm still appalled. I don't even know if I want to celebrate New Year's Eve anymore.
How about the ball dropping?
Oh, man, there it is.
Well, it really is amazing. I mean, and I'm not going to go into, like, the holidays, but if you look back at even the current holidays and what they were before they were those holidays, it's an amazing thing when you go down that little rabbit hole. I didn't do a show on that just because it might be a sensitive topic, but it's amazing how many holidays that are current that were replacing other holidays through history. I mean, history is just a living, breathing, moving, what are those things in the desert? You know, those little purple wheels or whatever. They just move. But it's amazing. I'm glad I traumatized you, sweet.
Yeah, you did. Boy.
This is like payback, I think.
Trauma.
Well, like I said, I love that you did your homework. I appreciate you so much. And feel free to stick around and to add. If not, I do need to get Steven read. But are you going to stick around, sweet, for Steven? Or are you leaving? Because I want you to plug.
I'm
going to
stick around to see them. I'm going to stick around till my Chinese food gets here. Because for some reason, when you're on Human Voices, I get Chinese food.
You know what? I love it. I love it. That's what I'm going to do. Okay, so I want to get Stephen read because he does have to read and run. And then after Stephen reads, I'm going to have Stephen plug. Then I'm going to have Hatter plug. Actually, I'm going to have Rack plug because he was the first caller. So Stephen, Rack, Hatter, and then you. Then we'll move. We'll just go where we go. Steven, you have the board.
All right, I cheated. I just looked up what gods each month was named after. And when I got to September, it said it was from the Latin septum, which means seven. So I went to my page and I typed in the word seven, and this is the first one that came up. So this is what I brought. And this is from this is from my Star Trek folder, and it's written to the original series episode Galileo 7. Spock and company stranded. Ambassador wants Kirk to leave. Caught between duty and friends, a dilemma not to believe. On the planet's surface, Skye, McCoy, and Spock, red shirts being murdered, storm keeping them landlocked. Enterprise finally must leave as Galileo heads into space. Kirk, he keeps the sensors to rear, losing friends, a thing he must face. Spock takes a gamble, dumps and ignites the shuttle's fuel. Enterprise sees this. Kirk has practiced the golden rule. End quote.
Awesome. You know, I've said this before, and I'm going to continue to say this. As someone who, I mean, I know a lot of fandom. I never, as you all know, and as Stephen well knows, I never really watched Star Trek besides my two episode venture. And I really feel like I'm going to be a Trekkie by the end of my life by all your poems. I don't even need to watch it. I just need to read the poems. They're always right on point. They're always informative to the fandom, where if an outsider who doesn't quite know the fandom can really follow along, understand the storyline, and really enjoy it. And for somebody who, for poetry that delves into the fandom, and someone who doesn't know it, to be able to enjoy it and understand it and, you know, really say, oh, hey, yeah, I get it. That's a feat in itself, I think, especially when it comes to a fandom like this that is so in-depth. I really loved how you kind of told the storyline with the ambassador wants Kurt to leave. You didn't leave out the details, caught between duty and friends, so you kind of really get the emotion that going there, not just what's happening and the movements of the storyline, but also the characters and their plight as well. Also, like how you put in the actual names, Scotty, McCoy, and Spock. And I love how you put a peg. See, I can make red shirt jokes even though I'm not a Trekkie because of you. Like, I'm just, hey, because I understand it because of so many so much time with you. It's really great. And I think this fits perfectly. I love how you explained how you got here, because one of my favorite, like, I love when people are creative in what where they take the prompt and I did this and then I did that and then I did this and then I did this and I got here. You went down your own tube to get this home. And I appreciate that a lot. I really do. And the humor in the end was absolutely brilliant. Really well done. Thank you. And I'm going to get my first comment from you as well.
I was always a Star Trek fan. I grew up with the original series. Never any question. What's funny is I didn't really at first make the red shirt connection, even though I was a fan. It was afterwards that someone said they always die. I was like, oh shit, why didn't I realize that, you know? But you know, like I says, you know, you don't have to watch the series to know that they always die. If somebody said, you know, the red shirts, you know, it's kind of an unwritten rule or a running joke, shall we say, that you know, yep, the red shirts, you know, when they beam down, oh, he's gone. you know, but you know, the storyline and the attitude of Kirk comes out in this too, because you know that I think was a central part of why Star Trek was the way it was. I don't know if it was how intentional it was, but you know, the acting wasn't necessarily the big point. It was the idea behind it, and it came through very well in the writing, just like in your poem.
Thank you, Rick.
Awesome, Rick. Excellent comment. Thank you. And Hatter? Hatter?
He's getting his red shirt.
Well, come back to him.
Unmuted. Unmuted.
All right. Back to Heather.
Yeah, the I think there was two for sure scenarios in any Bonanza or Star Trek. Red Shirt, the extra guy in the landing party, where he was doomed, or whoever married Little Joe, she was dead too. But I remember the episode. It's like Scotty goes, he shot a flare gun. Yes, Spock, or yes, Scott, but if there's nobody there to see it, something like that.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much, Hatter. And Sweet?
You know, I think it just shows that time is the same, the golden rule, and we just move forward and beyond, just like Spock and Kirk and the whole damn lot of them, because it's endless. Time is endless, And they do their things. It's like, because they're not a Star Trek fan, they do this little journal thing, and they talk in it, and they tell the date, and that way they know the date. But they never mention a month. It's called Stardate 1547543, or whatever they're saying. So it's time and calendars are going to be different. But there's still a time. We're always dating time. You know, we can't, we don't function without that date. So I really like that. So I thought it was cool.
It doesn't conform to it, Sweet, but there is, and I'm really annoyed that I don't know it off the top of my head, but there is a way when you refer to the month of the year or the day of the year that you say, you know, the 115th day of the year. You know, there's a name for that. They still do that. You know, it's just not they've taken it to star dates as opposed to, because it's not of you know, a lunar calendar. So, but I think that centers around what we were talking about, the Julian Gregorian. That there's a name for that calendar where they say, you know, the 115th day of the year. You know, there's a name for that.
Right.
That would be cool.
So they say in the year of our Lord.
Yeah, and Sky, if you can make me a D&D player, we can turn you into a Trekkie.
Well, it's just that Paramount took all the things. I was going to watch it, but Paramount took them all. I don't have Paramount subscription, so that's the only reason why. I was starting off with the Enterprise because I like to watch in not release date order. I like to watch in chronological order. And Paramount took them all, so I wasn't able to do it. So maybe if they ever release it again, you know. But thank you, Sweet. And Adam, what do you think?
I thought it was Steven is great storytelling all the time, especially like you said, when it comes to fandom things, like whatever he's into, man, he can tell you, let it be a book, a show he likes, and he has key things that other fans would pick up on. The storytelling's right there, like you said, and you can follow it. And then how funny for Sweet to bring in the time thing again. Like, that's funny because it's true. The star calendar is like they're, and you know, however that calendar works for them, it's because, you know, as gravity changes, it's like, is it based on Earth time or there's different, you know, galaxies and distances. There's something they're doing there to keep some sort of track. But it's interesting that we, you know, do that. We log these things and feel it's some sort of importance of the time, you know, and it being, but anyways, back to Steven, you know, there was cool rhymes and storytelling with that, and it was enjoyable, and then it, you know, has the lesson at the end too, right, the golden rule with Kirk. Sorry for the noise in the background.
It's not too bad. If I start hearing noise, I don't feel offended. I mute
Please,
people.
Yeah.
I'm an unbiased viewer. So don't. If I feel like it's too bad, I'll just start muting everybody. No, no offense, but I just can't do it.
I'm a happy mutee, so.
I would like to invite on Wayne. I'm not sure if he heard Steve's poem or not. Hello, Wayne.
How you doing?
How are you?
Fine, fine. Yeah, I heard. I didn't hear his poem, but I read it. So when I got here, and I got a little comment, I said, hi there, Spock, ignite the fuel. I guess that's because he's no fool. I don't have to worry about Kirk because there's no way he'll get hurt. I think Galileo had the space. Kirk can kill his crew if that's the case. Good point.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And then I have one more caller. And like I don't know if she was here for it, but I would like to invite on Deb and give her the opportunity if she wants to. I don't think she was, though, but hello, Deb.
Hello. Just got here. What are we talking about?
Oh, Stephen Cole. But just got here. Yeah, I know you just got here. So, all right. Hello, Deb. Welcome, welcome. Wayne, my shows are always early. I'm a night person, but not really. I have to be a morning person. but I do want to get Stephen out of here. So, Stephen, thank you so much. Please plug anything you would like to say.
Okie doke. And yeah, just so you know, I just dropped a little red shirt meme on the board too, if anybody wants to look at it. what have we got going on here? And I just talked about it yesterday. I can't remember. Oh, yeah. Lisa Asato is our artist of the month, and her show is tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern. Check out the paintings that Kay found from her to write to. They are the prompts. They're very cool paintings, as always. And that's at 7 p.m. And the next show is yours, guys. So I'll let you plug that at your
respect. Thank you. And thank you so much again, Stephen. Absolutely brilliant, as always.
Thank you.
And I would like to start muting everybody. I am on Thursday. Hold on. I'm multitasking, and that's never a good idea. I am on Thursday night, again, at 8 o'clock, because I'm an early bird. When I do my shows, it takes me a while to unwind, and I get up in the morning. But we are celebrating. Of course, it's April, so we are delving in every April, as always. I celebrate Tolkien, and we are, this year, celebrating the film The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey. We're kicking it off. And yes, we will be doing The Desolation of Smaug and the Battle of the Five Armies. But you can write to any of the themes, scenes, characters, and or quotes. You can go anywhere you want, even if off topic from the topic itself, which means if you've never seen The Hobbit, if you've never read The Hobbit, if you know nothing about The Hobbit, you can still write a poem. Because you can take the quotes wherever you want. I will bring the fandom, the trivia, the clips as always, and we'll have some fun. And as promised, who read it? Let's see. As promised, Brack, do you have a show that you would like to
plug? It got canceled/pushed. I guess the last Tuesday of this month, if we can do it, the top floor is probably still kicking around. Deb updated the date. Baggage from your guilt trip.
Oh, I like that. Okay. Everybody has something they want to get off their chest. Yeah.
You always get
good topics that are talkable, that are great, really. Awesome. Okay, and Hatter, if you could plug your show.
My show? I think the only one I have scheduled, this is April, I'll be Friday with Liquid Damage. And then Saturday with Deb and AP Taylor for Smoke, writing about Smoke. And other than that, I'm free. I hang with Deborah on Mondays too.
So I'll have her plug her show. All right, so I do have someone. Okay, here we go. Deb, I'm going to have your poem go next, but I'm going to have you plug first since we're all plugging. Wayne, I do have your poem. Adam, we are talking about the calendar, the months, where they came from. So anything that has to do with any of the gods that the months are named after, you know, there's a couple of them, Janus, Mars, or you can, there's some Julius Caesar, or you can bring a poem that is in any way connected to time itself. And this is a broad theme here. So if you have a poem on any of those themes, or a season, or a month, or that mentions a month, like there's lots of ways you can go. Drop it in the topic board, and we'll put it up for you. Okay?
So since I don't have access to a cell phone or computers or whatever, I've just written, because I did hear a little bit of, like, from Rack earlier when I called him. I heard a little bit of what was the thing. So I have a poem about June based on that. But it's just going to be me reading it. There's no, you know, I don't have access to the internet or the website or anything right now. So, and if this noise is too much, then I might have to be skipped. I mean, remuted. They're listening to Nickelback. Who listens to Nickelback? Come on. No, just kidding. Don't kick me off the phone.
I like Nickelback.
Nickelback, really?
I'm gonna have,
okay,
I'm going to get back to you on that. And I don't think the noise was you, my friend. It was somebody else, but thank you. But it stopped now, so it's fine. Deb, so if you could plug your show, and then your poem is on the board. And I want to thank Stephen one more time. Thank you so much for calling. And I better start writing these names down, because there's a lot of callers today. I'm going to forget to thank everybody. I better start doing that. And Deb, as always, you know the drill, right? You could talk before, you could talk after, you don't have to talk. You could do whatever you like, just let me know what you want to do, and you have the mic. But before you do anything, please plug your show.
Okay, I can do that. Well, for starters, Raconteur's topic was even cooler than he thought. It's souvenirs from a guilt trip, just saying. And Friday, when Hatter hangs out with Liquid Damage, it's open poetry. And then on Monday, on Personal Prompt Monday, we feature quotes by none other than Jay Hatter and some really cool art choices as well to combine with the quotes. That's the next several days. And I turned around and I watched the video that you had included, which was pretty informative. And then I grabbed some of the information from there, and then I looked up some other stuff. And then, of course, you know, like I did with the day of the week, I decided to stick with the pattern, and I went with May because I was born in May. Grabbed a cute little title from Led Zeppelin. My poem's called Spring Clean for the May Queen. And here we go. Maya is the goddess of fertility. The month of May is named for her, and month comes from the word moon that guides the calendar. Plant growth is overseen by Maya, showing her as the earth's nurturer, with the springtime sun sprouting buds that bloom into purple-colored lavender. May is divided into two pieces, and the dates fall neath the stars marking their symbol. Mine falls under the part for Gemini, the twins, leaving a part for Taurus, the bull. Gems are the birthstone. Lily of the valley flowers mark the month too. The wolf and the fox symbolize the time frame to guide you and to protect you. And boom.
Awesome. Now you have pairs. You have one for your day, and run for your month now.
I do. And I'm
I love
here in the year, so don't even think about it.
I'm sorry? You what?
I said, and I won't be sharing the year, so don't even think about it.
I don't even know where I would go with that. I don't even know. We could be talking about fish next month. Who knows, you know? It's really whatever. So random. Probably not you. But this is just wonderful. I love that you went with the goddess of fertility and you brought in May and, of course, the plant growth is overseen, sharing her as the earth's nurturer. You brought in those beautiful, soft nuances. And this too, and of course, the bloom into purple-colored lavender, a beautiful way to bring in the colors in there. And it's informative, too, because you bring in, May is divided into two pieces, and the dates fall beneath the stars marking their symbol. So you're actually learning something in the poem. And as everybody knows, I like random bits of information and to learn things. Who is a Gemini? My sister is a Gemini. So I don't know too many Geminis, but besides my sister. And I didn't know that. I mean, I'm not good. Like, there are people that can tell you people's birthstones right off the bat. Just like I can do that, I think, with like astrology signs, but I don't think I can do that with birthstones. So I think it's really cool that you brought in the birthstone. And then, of course, you've got this beautiful green lush background to complement it too, which is always awesome. And I know that it's like a nuance that I think some people take for granted, that you got the beautiful artwork and then you have the complimentary, you know, background to this beautiful poem. And then of course, not to say that everything's soft and gentle, but you also get that fierceness too, the wolf and the fox, to guide and protect you. So, you know, there is that underlining protection and that preservation self as well, which I really enjoyed that you also brought that in. Really well done. And you know, you're a May baby. I love it. I think I knew that already, but I won't ask the year.
I won't tell you.
There'll be all kinds of jokes. Everybody Hannah seems to think I'm like 19 when I'm like not. I think I'm closer to 40 now, but
not.
And Hannah will start bringing out the jokes. Yeah. And thank you so much.
Well,
and
I can't shake it up at 19 either.
Huh?
I said I can share that I'm not 19 either.
Oh, yeah. Well, my friend, it's a funny thing. Sarah, you know Sarah Allen. I met her when I was like 27 or 20, I think 27 or 28. And even though it's been like 10 years later or whatever, she still says I'm that age. So I'm always the age of what we met. Like, I really don't even think she knows how old. She's like my best friend.
I remember when you shared that before, and I remember saying to you that you will love being a perpetual age of 27. So,
but,
even when you become 27 for the second time, doubling your age, it'd be nice to have somebody say, "Oh, she's 27."
I love it. 1 year, I thought I was a whole year older than I thought I was, and then my birthday came along, and then I was like, "Oh," so that was fun. Did you want to add anything to about the, what you learned or anything like that, or are you good? I don't want to cut you off before I get your other comments.
Well, thank you for the great comment. And I didn't know that May came from the goddess of fertility. And I have four kids, so it must be true. But no, it was really interesting learning about the different months and where the names came from, and I really got a kick out of it. I mean, I knew but didn't remember how many different calendars we went through to try and get to where we are today with our little daylight savings and the leap year thing. And I remember also from you, I believe, how October got an extra day because that god wanted more days or something. So you find some pretty cool stuff.
That to me, Deb, exactly what you said is what I, the biggest thing that I personally also take away from it was how much we had to do to get where we are, how much adjusting and how much chaos there was to get where we are. And you got to sit back and appreciate that a little bit. And out of everything, like I said, I have to agree with you. That is the biggest thing for me too. So we have a connection there. Well, let me get you the rest of the comments here. Rack and Tor, what do you
think?
Thank
you, Sky.
Thank you.
You know, Deb always brings it. This is no different. I enjoyed it, Deb.
Thank you, Rack, and it's good to hear you. I hope you're feeling much better.
Yeah, I'm getting there.
Glad to hear.
Thank you.
He's such a trooper. He's blank. I was so happily surprised when I saw his number in the studio. I was like, no. But I was happy. Thank you, Rack.
Aww.
And Hatter, what do you think?
Hatter.
Unmuted. Yeah. Okay, so, all right, the Gemini's the twins. What's Pisces? Opposite? Are they opposite?
Pisces is a fish.
Yeah,
it's not May.
That's February.
Yeah.
I know. You're the twins. Gemini's the twins.
I think water is
Pisces, yeah.
But it has nothing to do with two of anything. That's just how they show it. I think that's why Hatter is a little bit confused.
Oh.
Okay. Because, like, May,
yeah.
Part of the end of April and the beginning of May, well, up to the 21st is Taurus the Bull. And I just happen to have two of those, one son, one daughter. And then from the 22nd of May until the 21st of June is Gemini. And I'm a Gemini the twin in the May half. And it just so happens that A.P. Taylor is a Gemini in the June half. And Sky, I meant to tell you too, he was going to try to call. He's at a doctor's appointment, and I put his palm on the board for him, but he may not be able to make it. Just saying.
Okay. Do you want, and does he want you to read it for him, or does he want me to save it for him for... How does he want to?
Oh, well, that's totally up to you. You can assign a reader. I'd be happy to read it. You can save it for another show.
Okay.
You can save it till the end in case he does get out of the appointment. I'm not sure. I put it on the board for him.
Okay.
As he asked me to.
Okay, thank you. I was gonna say, I was just gonna make an added comment. The thing that's really gonna mess you guys up with that conversation you were having about that. Because the way that the planets have aligned and because they change through time, they actually change the date for the bracket date. But they don't take effect. So if you were born as a Pisces, you don't just change because they change the date. But like where I'm a Pisces, if I was born today, I don't think I would be in the Pisces bracket. I think I would be in a different bracket because they changed the cutoff date because of the way that the planets align and move. So there's something really that would just blow your mind.
I hear you there. I know that in some of the horoscopes, they do the cutoff around the 19th rather than the 21st. There's like that cusp, and usually there's a third one, I think, and they turn around and they combine the two into one. And your horoscope's like a combination of both because of the dates. So you just never know. And, hey, next week they could turn around and decide that we have to change everything and switch them all up on us. Who knows?
That's when we switch to the Chinese calendar.
Yeah. The animals.
I think I'm a tiger.
There you go. There's
the
years.
Yeah. Oh, no,
years
do the there we go. Yeah. But you could be a lot of years, so you never might know. All right, and Wayne, what did you think?
I said, I never knew so much about May. I think the best thing about May is your birthday. Wonderful poem, and I like Last Couplet the best, which is the wolf and the fox symbolize the time frame to guide you and to protect you. I need a wolf and a fox to protect me and keep me out of trouble, that's for sure. Excellent writing. Enjoy your read. Great poem, Deb.
Oh, thank you, Wayne. And the beginning of that comment just made my heart melt.
Aw.
All right.
I'm a bad multitasker, and I was sending you a message. Deb, with an important question, if you want to have a look. Deb, how much time do you have? What do you, don't leave without saying goodbye, but, you know, if you have to leave, just let me know. But I'm not kicking you out. I actually would like you to read, well, I'll wait for AP, and if you're still around later, I will have you read. If not, we'll figure it out. But we have, I'll put Wayne up next. I do want to give AP a little bit of time. And Adam drops. I'm not sure if he's going to call back. That's why I didn't call on him for a comment. All right, Hatter, I've got your message. I'll be right here waiting. All right. Wayne?
Yes. I wrote this poem day after I came in out of the yard, and I'm sorry I'm late, but I call it, and I'm Julius Caesar in the poem, so all hail Caesar. And it's called Why July? And it goes like this. They call me Caesar. They say I'm a god, but I don't have no month. I find that odd. I'm not sure, and I don't know why. I think there should be a month called July. I'm good looking, and women say I'm hot. My month should be in summer. Why not? August 6th is better, and I think it's worse. I'm putting my month July to ride first. This makes 12 months in a year. I think July is the citizens should drink beer. My sorcerer said to leave March alone. She said the middle of March will be well known. Who is that Englishman who wants to reserve to try to hold the fourth? He has lots of nerve. I do believe that I have the solution. I'll have my men start a revolution. In?
This is really funny. I love the little bits of history you brought into it. And it does amaze me that he just came along and was like, you know what? My birthday is in July, and I think that I'm going to have it named after me. Like, absolutely, like, you have to really have a lot of gall to say, okay, yeah. And then when his predecessor made August after him, Augustus, you know, when did it stop? Like, I'm surprised it even stopped. Like, when do you say, okay, no more? We're not naming any more months after anybody. But I wonder how many people really know such a lie named after Julius Caesar. Like that, like, it's curious to me that, you know, when you're just talking with somebody, you could just, like, kind of pull that out and be like, hey, you know what? They just look at you like you're crazy. But I thought your poem was fun. It was on point. I love how you put it in a first-person perspective. Like, this would be what Julius Caesar would be saying. Like, I don't care what we got to do, but we're going to make a month after me because I'm so wonderful.
Great.
Yeah, and my sorcerer said to leave March alone. Yeah, because I would imagine they say leave in March alone because then you're messing with the God of War and that would be a problem, right? So I
well,
like
he
how
him, you know, he got murdered on the 15th of March, yeah. Besides March, he got murdered.
Oh, okay. Well, then there you go. It's more information than I thought. I don't think I know too much. Like, I wouldn't be able to say the day he died. Like, I wouldn't be able to say, I think, I know off the top of my head a whole lot about Julius Caesar when it comes to the day he died and things like that. So that puts it more into perspective. Thank you. This is wonderful. Yeah.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely wonderful. And, of course, that dark humor is pops his head in, right?
Yeah.
Wonderful. I'm going to get my first comment. From Rex.
Et tu, Brute? I think that's what you were trying to say. Beware the Ides of March comes from the fact that that's when he was killed in March. But yeah, I love you. You caught, you know, you took Caesar and you're like, you know, this is what his attitude would be. It's like you're a casting director. It's like, okay, this is what I want from you. And you just dished it. It was brilliant. This is really good.
Great, great. Thank you there. Rack.
Thank you so much, Rack. And Heather had to step away. Deb, what did you think?
You know, I think that Wayne has got such an amazing wit. No matter what he writes, it's always such a treat. And then at the end there, you know, when he said he was going to start a revolution for his day of the month, I thought, you know, just a crack up. In the beginning there, they call me Caesar. They say I'm a god, but I have no month. I find that odd. I'm just like, oh, my goodness. Only Wayne. And it's just too cool. And to turn around, and he put the educational pieces in there so we would learn something. But he, as he typically does, left us with a little bit of humor to make us giggle. And he does it so often that when he doesn't, we're like, wait, there was no twist. So it's just like, yeah, perfect timing for a giggle. Thank you, Wayne.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Wayne, I'm so glad you were able to call. I'm always on early. I am. Yeah. Sometimes the Catter's back. I don't know if he heard you. Catter, did you hear Wayne's poem?
No, I had to leave my phone being charged. I had to walk away. Sorry.
It's okay. It's okay. I was just thanking Wayne for writing, and I just think it's so funny. I am going to have Deb. I am gonna ask you to read for AP because I would like. I know that he'd like to be with a reader, and if he can't call, I know that he would appreciate you reading. So I'm gonna actually have.
Sounds like a plan.
Whenever you're ready.
I'm headed to the board. I was just about to write on Wayne's. Let me go back over to Voices, and then I'll write on Wayne's after. Okay, so this is Juno by A.P. Taylor, and here we go. In the age of the Greeks, Juno held the position of the god of fertility, childbirth, and even marriages given a nod. When forward to the age of Rome, those same positions still true, but added that of protector, each woman a Juno held true. Forward until today, carries the name. Fittingly sought photos and scientific information same. All roles, those of inquirer and of protector by action and deed, no matter if in a temple, or of searching scientific feeds. End poem.
Thank you, Deb. And it was an excellent piece. And I usually come in first as the host, but if someone else reads, I always give them the opportunity to be the first to say, read it. Deb, what you think?
Well, for one, I aside from the poem, the facts that they combined the May and June there, just like they did with the Gemini, and June also is a god over fertility. So we have the god of fertility in June and the goddess of fertility in May. That's pretty cool. I didn't realize that part. But then as far as the rest, it shows that he did his homework from the video, but then he also brought it further with stuff like that spacecraft. And, of course, we all look things up. We go to the feeds, and we learn this, and we learn that. So it was a clever bunch of information. And then, of course, it was done with the rhyme scheme and everything. So I thought he did a really great job with it. And my daughter's back in the hospital. I got to go.
Okay, thanks, Deb. and I hope that works out okay for you. So a lot of stuff going on. Everybody's got stuff going on, yeah. I'm going to start sending my good wish vibes out. I do want to say thank you, Deb, so much for reading, calling, and I really hope that everything's okay. Also, AP, thank you, even though you couldn't be here, for sending in a poem and being part of the show. I think that learning, I think this is something that might be right up your alley to learn about and you probably know about. I love how you bring in how June is the month of marriages and fertility. And, of course, when you talk about, but added to the protector, each woman, I do know how true, how she was protective. And I think that to mention that as well, that it's not just all flowers and happiness, but there's also the fierceness in there. It's a wonderful way to go. Your form, your line structure, absolutely brilliant. And, you know, even you even bring that down at the very end. The matter is a temple or a searching for a scientific seed. Absolutely brilliant. I do wish you were here so you could talk about it, because I do love when you bring your own added information and foresight and intuition about the topic. So, but I do appreciate the poem itself. And I'm going to get a few more comments. Rack and tour, what do you think? Okay, Patter?
Yes, I think I'm unmuted. Yes. Nobody writes like AP. He's solid throughout the write. I am curious, though. We know the zodiac and the constellations from the northern sky. I'm wondering if there's any Aborigine writings or anything about the southern sky, because I don't believe you can see the constellations that we do from the southern hemisphere.
Hmm. your brain, I love your brain, Hatter. You're such a good to have on down the tube, because you reach and you have such wonderful questions, and you just throw something and then you just start to think about it. Absolutely brilliant.
That's a curse.
No,
so I
have
to have to run
good
and learn.
Yeah.
Well, like you, if I don't know something, I'll run and find out. I want to find out. I want to learn.
Yeah, it's good. Does that come? Do you want to say anything else about AP's poem, or was that? I just don't want to cut you off.
No, that was it.
Oh, okay, thank you. I just don't want to cut you off when you go to Wayne. I think you had an excellent comment. And Wayne, what do you think?
Well, I think there's a lot of interesting facts about Juno. I didn't know about the spacecraft named June, but I got to realize that it was Gemini. It wasn't June, and so that makes sense. I want the poem and. June can't be bad if it was made to protect women. Great poem, wonderful rhyme, and thank you, Deb, for reading it. And I miss you, AP. Good job.
Oh, and one more thing, too. June is considered the luckiest month to be married and born in. So there was women that would have C-sections to make sure they were delivered during a certain moon, I guess. June.
I'm gonna Brack, are you back yet? Maybe he might have had to mute us. He is out of state somewhere, so I'm gonna assume that he had to mute us for some sort of reason, and he can't tell me until we're back, because he hasn't hung up. So I will hang in there, Brack, and when you're back, let me know. And so. We're clocking in at 9:35. I'm most likely going to be closing out at 9:45. And because that was the last poem. But I mean, it's a lot of fun, like, to learn about stuff. And I'm don't know where I'm going to go next month, but it could be about anything. I don't know. So here's a question, Hatter, for you.
Okay.
You know how I usually do three prompts, and then people pick one to write to? And then the last two times, I only did one prompt because they were pretty big. Which do you like better? Do you like the three prompts, or do you like the one prompt?
I like to the one, but I think I'm stand alone most of the time. People like a little variety. I like the different ways people, the different takes on one prompt, just to see the different ways people write to it. That's me.
Thank you. Wayne, thank you so much for calling. I do want to say goodbye to you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Have a nice night.
Bye, Wayne. Thank you so much for taking time to call and to write. Absolutely brilliant. Thank you. The thing with this one prompt is that there are so many smaller prompts within that realm, because you could write to any of the gods, you could write to the I was thinking there's no way that I can do three prompts, because this one prompt has so, it's like I only do one show a month, so I like to get, like I have so many things that so many ideas that's why I did the three.
What about the music tracks? The music tracks on some of the movies. What about the music tracks that they have on some of the movies, like The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings and the Dungeon and Dragon type thing? Is there anything famous that we would know that is a soundtrack to one of those?
I do a lot of soundtracks over at Apollo the Slice. Yeah, whenever I do my fandom things, I always do film scores. I love film scores. So we used to do, we've been kind of busy over at Poetic Slice, but when we used to do name that movie clip, and then we would say, okay, what is that movie from? And then whenever I would host, so Kay would host 1 month, Stephen would host, and then I would host the third month, and we would rotate. And then whenever I hosted, I would open the show, and it would be like famous film scores or famous show, like show themes. And then you would write on the board, if the tune came up, you would write it what it is, and you would get extra points, because I love film scores. And I think when I do the shows, when April, when I do Tolkien, I do a lot of his music, because they have the Tolkien Ensemble, where they did, they took all Tolkien's poems and they made it into music. So when I did The Lord of the Rings, I played a lot of the music and a lot of the poems that were converted into songs. And I did that too with last year when I did the 19 Rankin-Bass version of Lord of the Rings. And there'll definitely be music this month when it comes to The Hobbit. So, yeah.
Yeah. When I ran contests, mine was mainly music, a song. In fact, that's how I met Wayne, and a guy would start calling in. Was Joe Bonamassa. So,
when I pick ideas for this show specifically, I pick things that I watch that pique my interest. The videos that I've watched in the past, that documentaries that I learned about, or things, or I have a love for sea creatures. I try to always put like space stuff too, to even it out. But I think my love is really is the ocean. So like you always see those. And for some reason, like the dinosaur age, the divination age, the age where when I had those things were absolutely gigantic, like those huge mushrooms that I did. I tend to gear towards those. So it's literally stuff that I just watch on YouTube or learn documentaries or stuff that I know, or stuff that I know, and then I search to see if they have a YouTube video on it. I did that actually with these month and last month. It was stuff that I already kind of knew about a little bit, and I searched specifically for that to do this show.
Yeah, you know, I think the sea is the one is the most written about in creative writing. I don't know if it's just poetry, but the sea, and then you know, love and the moon. I think in that order, people write most about.
Yeah, but when you think about the idea of only 20% of our oceans have been discovered, that's what I like to look at. What are those little creatures? What can be in the depth below? It's really like how many black, like people are all like black holes in space. Well, guess what? There are black holes in the ocean too. you don't know.
Well, yes. Yeah. with everything changing, the currents changing, causing the weather, this more severe weather, things from the deep are going to start appearing that we've never seen before, creatures, and it's already started. So
the Megalodon is back.
Yeah, Baja.
Yep. All of a sudden. Oh, do you know what I just read? I just got done reading was 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, and I read it a long time ago, but I don't even really remember reading it. I think I read it sometime in high school, but that's what I think about Captain Nemo. Captain Nemo will be coming up from shore. When all those tides start pulling, and start taking over.
Interesting character, yeah. Interesting character, Captain Nemo.
Yeah, you know his name means nobody.
Was that right?
You never know his name in the book. They never divulge his actual name, so they call him Captain Nemo because his name literally means nobody.
Well, you know the extraordinary gentleman, is that what it was with Sean Connery?
Oh yeah, the extraordinary gentleman with what's his name?
Sean Connery was the
Sean Connery. That's a great film. Yeah.
It is. It is, but they sort of explain Captain Nemo's name, or he's already been named at that time, I guess. I don't know. How they referred to him.
Well, it's been a while since
great
I've
movie,
seen
though.
That film. I'm going to have to see it again. Yeah. I liked the, so one of my favorite shows I really love was on ABC. It was Once Upon a Time. And they took all fairy tale characters, different kind of characters, and they rebuilt their stories. And it amazed me what the writers could do and how they can intertwine the stories. Like Rumpelstiltskin is actually the Beast from Beauty and the Beast. And he's really, and Peter Pan's his father, like, and everything's rooted in a darker set. Like, it's really, just really cool how they intertwine the storylines. But they actually brought in Nemo as well. And I thought that the gentleman, I don't know his name, but that played Nemo and what they played on it was they did really well. And then I think Jekyll and Hyde came in that season, and they kind of played off each other.
Didn't the Grimm brothers do that with sort of like fairy tales that, you know, in the later years?
Well,
you know,
yeah, the Brothers Grimm. So I did a show about this too. I think two Halloweens ago over on Poetic Life also. And Grimm Brothers, they actually didn't write these stories; they collected them. So back then, a lot of these stories were passed down by generation to generation. They were folklore. They were all, and folklore is mostly brought down by storytelling, not by scripture, not by scription. So instead
dark,
of writing
dark
them, they would just. Yeah. They would just say them. And then, of course, and also like Little Mermaid, and it's actually a French story, and it's actually called Undine. And it's an amazing, amazing short story. And they have a translation in English, and a lot of things like a lot of stuff it's hard to find a good translation or a translation at all when it comes to your things like that. But Undine I'm sorry.
I accused you of making shit up. I accused you of making stuff up that show.
Undine. Not last year, I think the year before, they came out with a copy edition of the Grimm's Brothers, because what happened was when the Grimm's Brothers got together and there were other writers that were doing that were collecting folklore stories and that were writing them down and making books. But the thing is that none of them were as popular as the Grimm's Brothers or as vastly large as their collection. So they're going around, they're taking other people's stories and they're writing it down. They put it all in this book, but it was so raw. It was such a raw edition. When you read the original edition, I think it was like, I don't know what year it was. It was something 14. But when you read this original edition, you start to see, like, because what they did was they republished about, at least 40 times, I want to say. Don't quote me on that, but at least 40 times. They republished. And every time they republished, they started to take stories and meld them together, change stuff. Like, they wanted to preserve motherhood. So, like, in the original Snow White, it wasn't her stepmother. It was the actual mother. But they wanted to preserve motherhood, so they started changing it to this evil stepmother idea. So you start to see these changes, and you start to see, like, Beauty and the Beast was originally called The Summer in the Winter's Garden. And you could see how they took one story, and they took a piece of another story, and they melded them together to make Beauty and the Beast. So you start how they cultivated it. And so I would highly, highly, highly recommend, if you ever have a chance to read the first edition, and they just came out with it a couple of years ago, the original edition. It's really raw. Like, some of the stories are like, what am I reading right now? And some of them are only pieces. They don't even have a start or a finish. It's literally just a couple pages of a story that really doesn't really go anywhere. But you can see where they took those stories and they melded them together and how they created their versions now. It's absolutely amazing. I was blown away. I was really happy with anyway, I just went on.
Yeah, I don't think. Sorry. Every time there's a new edition, I'm sure they soften the stories. Yeah, that's pretty bad PR for stepmothers from Cinderella. I mean, that sort of stuck, the evil stepmother.
Yeah, and it really wasn't even a lot of the original. Yeah, so it was 1812. It wasn't 14. It was 1812. Where was the original edition, and then it's been over publicized since. They just republished it until they got it right, so there's all different kind of versions. But I read that they had an 18th version of republishing of that version brought out
now,
a couple years ago.
You can see how it was basically told, the stories told to keep kids from going into the forest. But
of course. I have like this little side obsession. I wouldn't say obsession, but I think it's a love maybe, but reading fairy tales. But so this year and last year especially, I kind of buckled down and I read like this book on Japanese fairy tales, this Irish, a book on Irish fairy tales. I've started reading books from different parts of the world, and it's so funny how they have different versions and they change it, but it's all, you know, when you look at the different versions, even when you look at Christian Andersen versus Andrew Lang versus the Grimm Brothers, when you start to look at all these different versions, and then also when you look at the different countries they are in, different versions of the countries. And, like, the Japanese always love, like, they're all about animal transformation. there's a lot of sea creatures and turtles, and like they just have these certain nuances. It's really cool to be able to do, to be able to see the different versions.
You know how to tell the difference between a Chinese dragon and a Japanese dragon? In art, you look at it, you can tell what if it's one or the other. It's how many claws they have, three or four.
Oh.
I think
that's interesting.
One of them, I don't know which one, I can't remember which one's which, but one of them is a Chinese representation of the dragon, and the other is Japanese. But can you give an example of one fairy tale we know that would that had been meshed together, two of them together? Is there?
Well, I don't remember the one that the Summer Garden and the Winter Garden. That was the Beauty and the Beast, but it was meshed with one other one, and I can't remember the name of that other one. But it was meshed.
Okay.
That's
interesting.
And there are pieces of it. So the frog princess, that was much. Not only was it much different, but it also appears in like two different stories and two different versions. And they like took the two different versions and also extended it. They didn't just take the versions, but they also rewrote it to and added their own themes to it. Snow White.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just saying that's what Lewis Carroll did also. The first mention of Humpty Dumpty is in Alice in the Looking Glass.
Yeah, I
you
think
the Lion
the first
King. The Lion
Humpty
King.
Dumpty, though, if I'm not wrong, and I might be wrong, but I thought it was in a comic strip
King?
Because people couldn't really say what they wanted to say about people, and that was kind of how they said it through a comic book strip.
Okay, good. The legend goes that Humpty Dumpty was either a king or a cannon.
This king
had this huge cannon that could reach further than being. You know, he was on top of a mountain, I guess. He could reach the opposing armies before they could, attack the kingdom or the castle with their weapons. So the idea was they had to destroy Humpty Dumpty. And that's the story. He fell off the wall, all the king's horses, all the king's men, couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. So it was the victorious battle of a cannon. It's interesting. But Lewis, having Lewis Carroll, put it in Alice is weird.
Yeah. I just got a version of Hunting a Snark. And I just got a new, the library. I had to, borrow it from a different library, and then the library was like, you can have it. And I was like, oh, thanks. Good.
Did you ever go through your grandma's book collection? Said you hadn't
I'm
gone
sorry?
Through after I talked. This is about did you inherit a book collection? You hadn't gone through it the last time I talked to you. That was a long time ago. I was just wondering.
I found some new stuff from my mare that she wrote. It's not a book collection, but it's stuff that she actually wrote. But a lot of it is in French.
Oh.
I have a very heavy French Canadian, so some of it I can't read. But I honestly think some of it, the ones that are in French, I think it's song lyrics. Pretty sure, because when I started to translate some of them, they were like song, and you think about it, back then they didn't have Google where you could just Google up song lyrics. So I think one of her books is solely just song lyrics that she liked, but it's written in French. Kind of hard.
Well, now you can. Now you can translate.
You have made me talk till five of. You're so good. I am going to say my thank yous. Thank you to Rack, Hatter, of course, Sweet, Adam, AP Taylor, Deb, Wayne, for all calling, for all doing homework, by the way, and engaging in wonderful conversation. And I know I did go on a little tangent about fairy tales. I get a little passionate about that subject. Well, get a little crazy. So I do, yeah, thank you guys so much. And thank you, Hatter, for wonderful conversation and poetry and some fun facts.
And stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. Let me see if Rock is still here. I don't know where he went. Maybe he fell asleep.
No, I have a lot of noise in the background. That's going on. I'm trying to keep muted and quiet and sorry.
So I was right. No, don't be sorry at all, because I knew someone might have come in the room and you might have had to press mute and you couldn't let me know. So I knew it had to do something with like that. I like having you here even in spirit. But I am going to let you people go. But you know what though? I forgot to do something. So our closing music is by Aurora. And Google sending me to Aurora Borealis, right? Of course. This is not what I want. I got so much talking about fairy tales. I forgot my job. Okay, so Aurora. I'm sorry.
Did you want teardrop?
I'm sorry, Hatter.
I'm sorry, were you looking for the song Teardrop by Aurora?
No, I have my own. You go into the studio and you go all the way to the S section, I have my whole section of just my music. I probably have about 5 pages. I am going to be doing Aurora Runaway. And a little bit about her. She was born, she's Norwegian. She was born June 15th, 1996. And she is a singer-songwriter and recording artist. And she was raised in the towns of Hol and Oath. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, because it's Norwegian. So she began writing her first songs and learning dance at the age of 6. After some of her songs were uploaded online, she became popular in Norway. She signed a recording contract in 2014. She gained recognition with her debut, Red with Wolves, which I love that song too, and contained the sleeper hit Runaway, which is what we are going to close out with. Later that year, she provided a backing for a John Lewis Christmas advert, singing a cover of Oasis song, Pass the World Away. So it's a little bit about her. I love her videos. She's wonderful. I love her voice. And since we're on the subject of Norway, again, no Fruit Loops in Norway. Fun little fact. They're banned because they're not healthy. So I just love it. I went through this like banned list, like what foods were banned where in a day. And I don't know. That's like the one I retained. thank you so much. And here we go.
Good show.